Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me here today as we talk about solving the burnout epidemic, how business leaders can find a new way to refresh. What if burnout isn't just exhaustion? What if there are systems and misaligned things that need to be fixed so that you can actually thrive in all the things that you do in business? We have four amazing experts today that are approaching this from totally separate, totally different angles, but yet all of them come together to show you how you can avoid burnout, live in a powerful, positive, influential even way, and more importantly, be a thriving entrepreneur. And oh, I want that for you. I don't want to see you burnt out, dropped out, not doing what you're doing, because absolutely positively, the world needs you. So today we're going to talk to all four of these authors, or all four of these business leaders and coaches, and really help you discover some ways that maybe you are burning out, and also some solutions to both your burnout as well as potentially the burnout in your employees. Are you ready for that? Let's jump right in to our first guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming John Bassford. Hey, John, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Sure. So again, you said my name is John Bassford. I am an operations professional. I help launch and manage operations for startups, nonprofits, and small businesses, and have transitioned to consulting the last few years, and continue that work in helping organizations really streamline and create efficient and effective operations for growth. I'm excited to announce that I have a book coming out called The Curious Leader, Unlocking Innovation, Empowering Teams, and Driving Change, as well as a TEDx that is going to be shot here towards the end of the month.
I absolutely love that. Tell us a little bit more about the what you talk about in your TEDx and in the book.
Sure. So little comparable for both of them. The TEDx is going from burnout to breakthrough, and how we get rid of the DIY dilemma, as I call it, and move and do so through curiosity. And then the book is The Curious Leader. So they do go hand in hand, and it's around the TEDx is around the notion that we as individuals tend to wear self-sacrifice as a badge of honor and do everything ourselves, and you know, grind it out and only trust yourself. If you want something right, do it yourself type mentality. And the reality is that because of those mentalities, we tend to be less productive while burning ourselves out. From a parent juggling all the kids to a volunteer trying to get help for a committee, or business owners doing their own bookkeeping and yet always getting it wrong. So there's a number of different ways that we do this throughout our lives. And the way to break free from that is becoming curious. And it's a shift in your mindset to realize that there are other possibilities, right? There is another way to do this, and open your mind to that. Then also having the curiosity to look at the possible solutions of how you can achieve something different. And then the third part of that shift is really connecting with the perspectives, resources, and other opportunities around you, both people and ideas, to really form different perspectives and how this can all happen and learn and grow together. Obviously, the book takes a much more of a business approach to those concepts, really doing a shift for growth mindset, operational excellence, and driving a curious culture.
Absolutely, I love that. So, what is the one thing that you wish people knew more about, growing themselves?
Yeah, so I think one thing that people tend to miss out on or miss is the ability to, I'll put this kind of twofold, the ability to be dumb and ask questions. We live in a society where as leaders, as smart people, as the information age, we're expected to know everything. And when we expect to know everything, we miss out on analyzing. We miss out on looking at different opportunities, different perspectives, because we're too afraid to ask questions. We're too afraid to seem like we don't know something. And really, to get the most out of life, to get the most out of leadership, you got to be willing and able to ask the right questions to truly get to the source and the bottom of the problems that we face.
What are the right kind of questions?
Sure. Well, I'll give you an example. This actually came up with my wife and I a couple weeks ago. We both had independently looked into upgrading our phone plans to get new phones. As all the phone companies do, get an email or something in the mail about upgrading your phone for free, that sort of thing. And so we'd both independently looked into it, and we both came from very different perspectives or walked away with different possibilities here. And the issue resolved or revolved around one issue: our international data plans. What happens when we travel to Dominican Republic or Mexico, or somewhere in Europe for a vacation? What happens? Our previous plan, we had these data credits. I forget exactly what they were called, but we'll call them data credits. And my wife had contacted them and said, "Hey, if we upgrade this plan, what happens to our data credits?" Very honest, legitimate question. And the person responded, "Oh, those go away." Again, very honest answer to the question. Now, when I reached out to support, I asked a different question. If we go with this new plan, what is our international package? "Oh, you get free international data for 270 countries." So we both asked different questions. She asked a specific question about what happened to the current feature that we have, which was very closed, right? It was about a specific aspect of our plan. And so she got an answer that we really didn't want, which was, "Those go away." Well, the reality was, those go away because they're no longer needed. Because in our new plan, we are automatically covered for data in all these countries already. And so it really shines the light of what we really wanted to know. Was what is our international plan package? What is the benefit regarding international plans in this new upgraded plan? And not what happens to our old plan or old data, international data on the old plan. And so just really getting to the root, right? We want to know what was the benefit, not what was going away. And so by asking the right question, we can truly get the heart of things. And that happens all throughout life and all throughout work. And if you really want your organization to grow, you want to lead your team, you want to continually innovate, grow, and change, you've got to learn to ask the right questions, get to the root of problems, let go of status quo, let go of your biases, let go of your habits, and start really questioning what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we are doing it. And that's the initial catalyst to grow and change.
I love that. And it's such a great point you make about it's all about the question you ask for the answer that you end up getting. What's the downside? I mean, what is the thing that people tend to assume that gets them in trouble?
I don't know so much that it's assume. It's more. Well, I think one thing it does go back to the aspect of wanting to know all the answers, right? If you're asking questions, you are admitting you don't know the answer, or at least don't fully understand, or whatever it may be. So there is an ego aspect to this, But also, there's just habits. There's biases. Like our organizations are run by people, and people are creatures of habit. I forget the exact stat here, but something like 85% of all of our thoughts and decision making throughout the day, once we hit 35, are pre-programmed. We're not thinking about them; they're just happen automatically. So it's not necessarily always that we as individuals are doing something wrong. This is a very organic and psychological thing that happens, and happens for very, very important reasons to live life and not be burdened by every little thought. But when it comes to innovation, growth, and change, these habits, these biases, these natural occurrences are the enemy. So it's more that we have to recognize that and create mechanisms to break free from that.
Perfect. I love that. So, what kind of things do you work with people? I mean, you've got the book, you've got the TED Talk. What kind of stuff do you do for people?
Sure. So we work with a lot of nonprofits, associations, startups, and small businesses. And a couple of things. So one is my consulting firm, which is Lateral Solutions. What we do is we come into organization and help them get curious. One thing that I see a lot from organizations when they're looking to grow, they fall into one of a few habits. One is they just throw more money at the same things without really knowing what's going on. Two is they go through a strategic planning process, which is just kind of internal conversations, the same people around the same table saying, where do we want to be in 5 years? Or the third thing is they don't really know what to do. And so they have paralysis by indecision. And so what my consulting firm comes in and does is do an analysis of your organization. Not where you hope to be, but where are you right now? And what this does is look at your decision-making processes, your culture, your operational maturity and strength, and your efficiency, and help pinpoint the areas in your organization that are hindering your growth. So we do it very much from a data-driven aspect, as well as a problem-solving aspect, so that we can help you fill those holes. From there, I provide ongoing consulting. We have a number of consultants that work for us from kind of a fractional COO level. We help you execute on the plans that come out of these audits. Also, I work with a lot of companies through speaking as keynote engagements, as well as workshops, working with executives, working with teams, excuse me, with managers on helping them become curious leaders. And also create a curious culture that allows each and every person on the team and in the organization be a part of the process that drives innovation, growth, and change.
I love that. So, if a person wanted to go deeper with you, how do they get in contact with you? How do they work with you?
Yeah, sure. There's two ways. I have two websites. My consulting firm website is think-lateral.com. And then my personal brand page, which I do more of the speaking through, but you can contact me through either one, is johnbassford.com. It is J-O-N, not J-O-H, and J-O-N, Bassford, like a bass fish in a Ford car.com.
I love that. Well, before I let you go, give us some words of encouragement. What are some things that we could start doing right now today to begin to communicate better?
Sure. I think the key things here are just open up, right? Just get rid of the notion of staying in the status quo. Get rid of the notion that where we are is where we have to remain, and just start getting curious. Get curious about our own lives, where we are, where we want to be. Get curious about who we can bring into our world that can help, the resources, the opinions, the perspectives that can help us move forward. It all starts with ourselves. No matter where it ends, it all starts with ourselves. Whether you are talking about leadership development or spiritual development, whatever it may be, it always has to start with the self. And so I really encourage people to look inside, right? Look inside your head and in your heart and think about where you are and where you want to be, and just start getting curious about the possibilities.
I love that. And give us your URL one more time.
Yes. So it's think-lateral.com. jonbassford.com and johnbassford.com. That's J-O-N and then bass like a fish and Ford like a car.
I love it. Well, John, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I know you want that. I know you want to go from feeling burnt out or the potential of leading to burnt out to breakthrough, to being strong and powerful in exactly what you want to do, and how to unlock the innovation that allows you and your team to do more than you ever imagined possible and make your company an even better place. I like that. I hope you do too. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about solving the invisible burnout epidemic and how business leaders are silently hitting the wall. We don't want that for you. We want you to feel strong, powerful, empowered, and really able to do the things like what we talked about in the first segment, where you can innovate, you can be innovative, you can be brilliant in the way that you've always been, and you can empower the members of your team to do the same and make the powerful impact that you're meant to make in the world. We've got another guest here that's going to show us a different way, but also very similarly, how we can handle this situation and live as a thriving entrepreneur moving away from the burnout epidemic. Let's jump into our next guest. Join me in welcoming Rakia Collins. Hey, Rakia, how are you doing today?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for being here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much. My name is Rakia Collins, and I'm currently the founder of a review management tool called Ovryn. I'm working on Ovryn as a part-time startup, and full-time, I work in project management for an accounting software firm. So that's kind of what I do, and that's kind of how I show up in the world.
Perfect. Well, tell us a little bit more about your company. What kind of things does it do, and what's it all about?
Awesome. Well, Ovryn is a review management platform that focuses on helping small businesses aggregate their reviews from different platforms into a centralized location. So said another way, if you are a mom and pop restaurant or a mover or any local service-based business, you understand that reviews really impact your bottom line. One negative review can deter other people from wanting to visit your establishment or leverage your services. And so the challenge for a lot of local service-based businesses is all that information is disparate. It's across different platforms. If you are a restaurant, you have Uber Eats and DoorDash and Google and Yelp and all these different places that it's nice for us as consumers to be able to order food wherever we want to, whenever we want to. But as a business owner, being able to track your reputation online across all those different platforms is a job within itself. And you really want it to be a business owner of a restaurant just to create food. So that's really what Offerin does. It allows people to aggregate all the reviews in one place. We leverage AI in order to scan all of your reviews. So at a high level, you can see if your reviews are largely positive or negative. Have you gotten more or less reviews over the past 6 months to a year? You know, really helping business owners identify those trends in the reviews that they're getting.
I love that. So, what does it allow you to do as far as the, talk back to? Does it have it all set up so that you can then reply to those reviews and comments as well?
Yes. So based off of the platform itself, Google does an excellent job of like feeding back the link. So whenever you log into your platform, for example, if someone left you a review on Google, you can easily click the link. It'll take you directly to the review and you can certainly leave a review there. A feature that we are working on currently is having AI not only read the review and give the sentiment, positive or negative, but also provide a detailed response back. So, I think that's been probably one of the most requested features and something that's certainly on our roadmap to further alleviate, you know, having to respond back to those reviews manually.
And are there any elements of AI that are put into it to help the people be able to make those kind of discussions and things like that with their consumers?
Yes, so that is something that's on our roadmap to do. The thing that AI currently does is it scans those reviews and it puts your top key phrases in a chart. So if you are, let's say, a dentist or a doctor's office and people have experienced, you know, long wait times or great customer service, all of that's going to be in the chart by AI just extracting all of those key phrases. And then likewise, if you are a restaurant and you have a waitress who does an outstanding job and her name is always called out, AI will also give you that information as well for you to be able to just kind of slice and dice your data and see it not just as reviews from various platforms, but actually taking the needs and the wants of your consumers and making tangible operational changes based off of that feedback.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So, talk to us about some of the clients that you've worked with currently, and what kind of responses and impact has it had on them.
Yeah, so we're currently targeting and actively working with restaurants. That's kind of just, you know, given the name of, you know, restaurants, you can look at restaurants and they have tons of reviews. And so one of the amazing things that I found about working with restaurants for Offerin is it really hit on the pain point of the misaggregation of reviews. There were a restaurant that, you know, just literally, Yelp fell off the platform for them. Yelp is not one that they were actively focusing on. And so, to be able to include Yelp in a dashboard with DoorDash and with Uber Eats and with Google, kind of the major players for that particular restaurant, it was just nice for them to not have to remember, like, oh, I do have a Yelp profile. Let me log into Yelp and see what people are saying about my business. Like, they can actually have all of that in one dashboard.
Oh, I really love that. So, what's next? What are the things that are on your roadmap that you're also going to be adding into it?
Yeah, so I'd say outside of just the AI responses, we are also looking to include some additional visualizations. We're actively trying to talk with owners and people who not only just like manage, we have like a lot of managers now who leverage the tool, and that's great, but we also want to empower them to give their ownership actionable insights. So we're looking to build out better dashboards, better visuals where they can actually have those executive level conversations and take the changes that they want from an operational level and kind of inform their decisions that they're giving to management. So we're working on building out better dashboards to help fuel those conversations.
That's amazing. So, what's the downside to using your platform versus just, having some team that you hire that's really great at social media that just manages all the different platforms individually themselves for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the great things about Auvern is that it democratizes your ability to make decisions that are best for your business. I think certainly if you were to outsource social media and management to another company, that's literally what they're doing. They're just managing it. They're just looking at it. They're just responding more than likely to negative reviews. And I think that's something as humans, we kind of gravitate towards the negative inherently, but it's important to respond to all reviews, irrespective of the negative. The positive, the neutral. So I think that's one thing that you gain by, you know, keeping something like reputation management in-house is because you're able to respond to each and every single review. The second thing I'd say is it's important to know for your own reputation, some of those key insights that you want to, as I mentioned earlier in the example, if you're a manager, you want to raise to the owner of the business. These are some of the changes that we need to make. If you outsource reputation management to someone else for social media, they may not even look at that level of detail because they're just doing their job. You're just, you know, a number of one customer compared to, you know, all of their portfolio. So I think the genuine natural nature of caring about your business and caring about how people feel about your business. What are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? And what can you change? That's something that with Auvern, you'll have the ability to kind of see and make those changes.
So for a person who likes what they've heard and would like to add Auvern into their restaurant, how do they work with you?
Awesome. I would say, but going first to auverniq.com, that's OVREIQ.com. That website is going to let you know a bit more about Auvern IQ. You can schedule a personalized demo as well, where we will walk you through how to use Auvern IQ. You can give us your business name and we'll set up a demo with you showing you how Auvern can take your reviews from DoorDash, Yelp, Google reviews, et cetera, and put it all inside of one dashboard for you. So I think that would be the next best step.
I absolutely love that. And you said it's auverniq.com?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, before I let you go, give restaurant owners that feel overwhelmed and are thinking, oh, you know, here's one more app I've got to learn now. You know, give them some words of encouragement to let them know how well this can help them and why it's worth it for them to go ahead and take this on.
Awesome. I would say the word of encouragement is that once Auvern is set up, once you have your DoorDash, Google URL profile in there, the system works by itself. It may take 10 minutes of setup, and every single time you get a new review, not only does it flow through to the dashboard, we also email you as well. So don't feel pressure about having to log into the solution. Every single time that you get a new review, we will send you not only daily notifications, but also weekly notifications as well. So it is intended to be a set up one time and then allow the system just to kind of run itself so you can get back to doing what you love.
I love that. Well, Rekia, that's a really cool new piece of technology that I think will really help out, especially restaurants with all the other things they already have to do. And I appreciate you spending some time with us here on our show today.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your time.
Reputation management is so paramountly important these days, because normally somebody, before they even ask their friends, they're going to go online and they're going to look at your reviews, and whatever those say, most of the time people are going to assume that that's true. It may not be, but they're often going to assume it. And so we need to live in that world and have a way to manage those and have a way to put forward the word of mouth that we want being said. And that's the importance to word of mouth. Word of mouth advertising is only as good as people are saying the things that you want for them to be able to say. And so having a system like this really allows you the capability to do that. And it keeps you away from burning out and being stressed as a business owner, things that I do not want for you, because I want you to live as a thriving entrepreneur. Let's take another commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about solving the invisible burnout epidemic, how business leaders are silently hitting the wall, and how through innovation, you can solve that for both yourself and your team. We've talked about innovation. We've talked about the burnout breakthrough. We've talked about a system that can help you be able to manage your reputation online. And now we want to move forward to some other things, some more forward action type of things that you can do that can help you also be able to show up as the you that you're meant to be in this world and make a powerful, impactful difference in the world as a thriving entrepreneur. Are you ready for it? Let's jump in. Join me in welcoming Cody Jensen. Hey, Cody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, my name's Cody Jensen. I'm the founder and CEO of SearchBloom. We started about 10 years ago, and we're a digital marketing agency that specializes in SEO and Google Ads or PPC.
So for somebody who doesn't know what SEO or PPC is, can you define that? Let us know what that is.
Yeah, ultimately, they both boil down to search engine marketing. So when someone searches Google or Microsoft Bing, et cetera, for a particular query, say restaurants near me, SEO is a mechanism to help you increase your rankings. So when someone searches that and they are near you, you appear higher in the rankings. That's what SEO is. Whereas Google Ads, on the other hand, is pay-per-click or pay-per-result basis, and they're more ads and not organic.
So all the rage there for a little while, at least, was doing Facebook ads, and then it kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. What is the significant difference between advertising with Google and advertising on a Facebook or a LinkedIn or a Twitter or a thing like that?
Yeah, there is a significant difference. And here it's very simple. One is someone is asking to be advertised to, whereas with the other one, someone is not being asked. So it's cold or disruptive advertising, right? So on Meta or Twitter or social media networks, they're not asking you to advertise to them. They're not asking you questions. Whereas with Google, they're asking a particular question, best XYZ software or best SEO company or whatever that question is, that's the query. They're asking for information. So it's more inbound, it's warmer traffic, much, much warmer.
How does a person know, first off, if what they have is something that would be good to run an ad for?
That's a toughie. Well, they would have to make sure that they have enough gross margin in it to actually make a profit. CPCs in general are on the rise. Google continues to increase its profits and make their shareholders happy, right? And they do that by increasing the benchmark CPCs across all industries. So they're also serving more and more ads, right? Throughout, as you'll notice, your Google experience is likely changing, right? You're seeing more AI, you're seeing more product tiles, you're seeing more e-commerce type of environment with Google. But most importantly is you need to have the amount of gross margin in order to advertise on these platforms. So if you're sitting at a 25% gross margin on your product or service all in, then you may not be able to afford advertising. Whereas if you're sitting at 60, 70% gross margin on your cost of goods sold, then you absolutely could.
That's a good way of looking at it. I appreciate that. So, give us a basic primer. I mean, I don't want you to give away any of your secrets. People need to work with you to learn that. But give us a basic idea of what kind of things we need to know and do in order to be able to advertise on Google.
Well, two routes to go. One is Google Ads, where you can not only advertise on Google Search, you can also advertise on Google Search Partners, the Google Search Display Network, which is humongous. It's vast. It's the biggest display network there is. There's also YouTube, right? And that to consider. So that's one route you can go. You can also go search engine optimization, the organic route. I like to compare it to renting a house versus owning a house, right? Either way, you're going to have to shell out for the mortgage, right? Whether or not the mortgage is in your name or it's in another's is completely different, right? So if you're running ads on Google, you're renting space on the top of Google. So your ads get clicked, and therefore, if you've done a good job, then you're getting leads or you're getting sells. Whereas, and then just keep in mind, you're renting those leads, you're renting those sells, right? Because as soon as you push the pause button on your ads campaigns, they go away. Whereas with SEO, it's more like, having a mortgage and owning the home and building up your equity over time. It takes longer. You have to come in with some money up front. It costs a decent amount of money to do proper SEO, but if done correctly, you own the house. And those leads continue to flow, those sales continue to flow without you having to pay every single time someone clicks on your ad, because it's not an ad, it's an organic result.
Much like a house needs maintenance, obviously your SEO needs changes over time. How often should a person or does a person need to update their SEO?
Oh man, well, it very much depends on the industry because you're dealing with the competition, right? So really it's how fast is or how quickly or how what is the cadence of your competition's optimizations and or variations, the different approaches that they're taking as opposed to you. So it's kind of like a gap analysis. You versus the four or five true competitors in your industry or niche. And you're wanting to not just catch up with them, but you're wanting to outpace them, beat them at their own game. So it is very much dependent on the industry, depending on the target, whether it's national, international, or just local. The more local you get, the more easy it is because you have less competition. But there can be, some very competitive metro cities and very competitive industries as well.
And with what you do you typically focus more on that localized grassroots, direct in your community kind of things versus trying to reach the entire world?
Well, SearchBloom is more known for our mid-market services. So we work with brands, mid-market brands, but I mean, sure, we work with smaller companies, but mostly mid-market brands that need help with their search engine optimization. It's a tall order because they might have a 100 million pages on their website, and it's hard to, parse out all the signal from the noise, right? And they bring in, heavyweights or specialists like ourselves to help them traverse that journey. But again, we're not specialized in any one niche or category or industry. We do SEO very methodically, and it works every single time because we stack the deck, meaning if they're getting a proposal from SearchBloom, it means we already know we can win. We've already looked at all the competition and have determined based on statistical significance or based on data, we know that we can win in this particular category or city or keyword, etc.
So let's talk about the process. I mean, obviously, there's a research element on your side before you take a customer on. How does the process work from a consumer standpoint?
Yeah, so before we bring on a partner, we work with partners here. We don't even call them clients. We work very collaboratively with them. But before we do so, we do a lot of our due diligence up front. We do a lot of keyword research and competitive analysis, as well as gap analysis. We've developed over the years our SEO methodology, which is it's an acronym. It starts it, well, it's ART. It starts with authority, and then relevancy. And technology. Every SEO action that you take is going to be within one of those three buckets, right? So if you have a really slow page that loads, that's going to be in your technology bucket. But if you don't have a meta title on this particular page, that's going to be in your relevancy bucket. Whereas with authority, if you don't have any other websites linking to you, then you need more authority in order to compete in the SERPs. So we do a pretty thorough deep dive into everybody that wants to work with SearchBloom. We look at what we can do for them and determine if we can make them a return on their investment. If we can, then we will provide a proposal. If we cannot, then we'll part ways as friends and tell them, hey, this doesn't look good for you. No need to go and look any further, you know?
And cost-wise, about what does something like that? I mean, I realize it's all custom, but what does something like that run a person?
Yeah, at SearchBloom, everything is extremely custom based on the competition, as I'd mentioned, and other factors. But our minimum for just local SEO, 2,500 per month, and it goes up from there. When you're talking about national or e-commerce SEO, minimum of 5,000 per month. And majority of our partners are investing two to three times, four times that.
I love that. So tell us, where do we go to find out more about you or to, get one of those initial assessments to see if we're even a good fit for you?
Yeah, just go to searchbloom.com, search like you're searching Google, and bloom like a flower does, searchbloom.com. And you can check out some of our case studies. You can check out some of our results. And once you fill out a form, you'll be contacted. We don't have a big sales team at SearchBloom. We have one, right? Because we don't need a lot of the sales coming through. We take our own medicine, right? We do our own SEO. So we got a lot of leads coming through. We just cherry pick the ones that we really like, and we know that we can win on.
I love that. Well, before I let you go, just give us some words of encouragement that it's still not too late, no matter how new in the game you are, that you still can compete with some of the big dogs.
Well, I'll tell you right now, on average, when we compete against Amazon versus one of our partners in SEO or pay-per-click, we beat them 9 times out of 10. It just takes a little bit longer. Amazon has a lot of authority. They're the biggest e-commerce engine in the world, by a long way. So, especially here in the United States. So, I'm telling you right now, while it might seem like you're trying to go up David up against Goliath, the fact is we kick Goliath's butt all the time. It's just a matter of who you partner with and who you're working with and the strategy in which you employ.
Love that. And to again, the URL is searchbloom.com.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Cody, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
My pleasure.
What does your website say about you? What do the Amazon listings, the Shopify listings, what do all of those do? You need to optimize those to be seen properly in whatever search engine is looking at them, including the new AI program, so that your information's coming up, so that what you know in the world is showing up. You need a company like Cody's to be able to help you manage that and put the best foot forward. Because without it, you are most definitely going to be feeling some burnout, some overwhelm, and feel like you've more than silently, in some cases, totally hit the wall. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to live as a thriving entrepreneur. Let's jump into another commercial break and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKid.com and schedule a time to talk today.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. We're talking about solving the invisible burnout epidemic and about how business leaders are silently hitting the wall, but how innovation and some skills and some different technologies can come in to really help you either avoid or overcome that burnout. And we've got one more guest that's here to really help you understand and bring it all together for us, so that you can not burn out, but you can uplift, you can come out firing, and live as a thriving entrepreneur. Let's listen in. Join me in welcoming Dr. Angela Jackson. Hey, Angela, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Steve. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Steve, thank you again for having me. My name is Angela Jackson. I like to think of myself as an academic and recovering corporate employee who now focuses on the world of work.
Describe that for us. What does recovering from the world of work mean?
Well, when I started in work, I started in the private sector and worked at Nokia, Viacom, building new businesses domestically and internationally. And my world was like that movie Up in the Air, where I was one of those million miler executives flying all over. And I end up having a terrible accident that grounded me literally for several months, where I had a chance to think about work and how you do that more sustainably. And that really sparked my own interest in thinking about how do we create organizations where people and their well-being thrive, but also the business thrives too. So there's not a lose-lose, that there could be a win-win.
How can we create the win-win? I mean, corporations, of course, obviously need to make money, but they want their employees to be happy as well. How can we create that win-win situation?
Well, what I've seen through my research at Harvard, and I write about this in the Win-Win Workplace book, we see the companies that prioritize employee well-being, that they see like real tangible business results. You know, for example, one of the pillars I put in the book is around reimagining employee benefits. And companies that do that, they have a 56% correlation with a strong company valuation and 54% with strong profitability. And what I look at, and these are companies that some of them we know their names, think like Patagonia, which invest in on-site childcare, extended parental leave. It's not just about these perks, but it's a way to retain talent and boost engagement and just really morale. And there's this acknowledgement that a lot of people are making now that it's not about work-life balance. It's really about that work-life integration.
So how do we be able to help our employees have a good balance in their work life without it ending up costing the company, though, as well?
When I looked at organizations, and we did two studies, the first study was with 1,200 companies, and the second, we repeated the study with the Fortune 500. And what we saw in one pillar that we talk about always is around reimagining benefits. So really thinking about the expenditures that a company is making today and thinking about how they can take those same dollars and invest them in strategies and resources that matter most to their actual employees. And I'll give you an example of that. I was working with a fast casual restaurant, and they made sure that every frontline worker had a 401k account. And the CEO at the time was really perplexed because they had low participation. And they brought me in to say, do you know why that is? And I said, well, I don't, but have you asked them? And we actually did a set of employee listening, and what we found from the employees is that while they cared about 401k, they had more pressing issues that were on their mind today, around childcare, around transportation. And so what the CEO did was they took those dollars that they were planning to invest in other ways and they reallocated them, giving employees choice. So same dollar, but the end result was that one, employees felt that they were really seen. Two, engagement went up and retention went up because they felt like they had an employer that really cared about what mattered most to them.
So you outline in the book nine different strategies to create better, healthier workplaces. And I know this is an unfair question, but pick any one of them and tell us, a little bit more about that.
One of my favorites one is the one that we put at the end, and it's really called distributed leadership. And I'm talking more about that more and more as we think about the modern workplace. With the invent of generative AI, with job roles changing, one thing I share with the companies that I've seen and that we studied is that a lot of them are thinking about how do employees work alongside machines, not talking about replacing people, but what is the value that uniquely a human can bring? And what they're creating are structures and what we call entrepreneurial structures, where giving space to employees to actually experiment with generative AI and to begin to learn about what is the value add that they can create alongside these new technologies? Again, not replacing them, but how does it help them do their job more efficiently? How does it help them come up with ideas that they see from their seat? And making sure that there's structures in place within the companies where, employees, regardless of where they sit in the organization, will have time to experiment with this new technology and also to develop new ideas that they can then pass on to their managers and to other leadership within the company to think about how to drive the business.
I love that. So, after a person gets the book, what is your hope for it? What are you hoping that business owners will do with it?
The first thing I'm hoping with this book, and when I wrote this book, I really wanted to move the conversation from investing in people as an expense to shift thinking to investing in people as the strategy, as the competitive advantage. Many companies say that their human capital is the most valuable asset that they have. A lot of times I saw through my research that companies weren't measuring these investments. And so one of the high growth strategies is really looking at centering employee voices. So truly listening to the workers and incorporating their insights into decision making. What I saw with my research is that companies that are doing this, they're seeing a 44% correlation with strong, profitable performance. And a great example of that is just looking at Microsoft, which we hear their name a lot. But one thing that they did by transforming their workplace culture and empowering employees to shape policies and innovation, what they've seen in this shift that it's helped Microsoft sustain its position as one of the most valuable companies in the world. So again, really thinking about what are those strategies where you can actually center employee voice. You can take what you've learned and think about as a company, how do we integrate that into strategy and how do we actually measure it? Because companies are good at measuring the things that matter most. One thing we haven't been so good at that we've seen across companies is measuring the human thriving element and seeing what correlation that actually has to driving profits and business growth.
Oh, that's good stuff. So, what's the downside? What happens to a company that just refuses to acknowledge this stuff and keeps doing things the same old way?
I'm glad you asked that. In the book, I talk about that there's a zero-sum workplace and then there's a win-win workplace. So I would say those companies who are still thinking about doing things, traditionally, the way that we've always done it before, that are not having any flexibility, they're going to be a step behind in the modern workplace. We're seeing generational shifts. We're seeing technology shift. We need every worker to think about themselves as a knowledge worker. It's not about where they sit in the within the organization. So it's not like someone's at the front desk is, less important than someone who's a senior executive. There's an acknowledgement that we saw with companies that are doing well that innovations can come from with anywhere within the company, and that they need structures to actually be able to get ideas from everywhere and think about which ones of those can drive the business today and which ones may wait to drive them tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now. And so I always say the companies who are a step behind this, their peers are doing this. They're reaping the benefits, as I've seen through this research that we did with the Fortune 500. And so it's really an invitation for businesses to come on board and to think about this. Or I like to say they're going to be left with an empty shell. And we've seen this happen to companies over the years where they were a beat behind their peers when innovation was happening, and they still haven't recovered from that.
And is there a way that people, after reading the book, can go further with you and work with you more?
There's a couple different ways. So one is we are hosting a Win-Win Workplace Summit in Chicago on May 5th and 6th. And we've got about 85 corporations who are coming who are already committed to investing in their employees, and they're thinking about integrating these strategies. And so one way is to come there to learn. The second way is just buying the book. We've had a lot of people, individual workers, see these strategies and really understand what can be possible and what other corporations are doing. And we have instances where people have written me and said that they've actually taken some of these case studies into their HR, to their CHRO, into their hiring manager, and they're able to champion these. And really, what I say to individual employees are, we're co-creating. That modern workplace is going to be one of co-creation. And so if you can take this book and the ideas and introduce it to your manager, it's really telling their response. Are they leaning in? Are they open to having these discussions? If they're not, that's also a clue to a worker to think, can I find a place that are open to the ideas and open to centering not only their voice, but their expertise?
I love that. The book is called The Win-Win Workplace: How Thriving Employees Drive Bottom Line Success by Angela Jackson. Angela, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Oh, Steve, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Such a great way to bring this all together because that's what I want for you. I want you to thrive in what you're doing. I want your employees, your contractors, your clients to be able to really truly thrive and feel just like it's an amazing opportunity every time they get a chance to work with you. But if we're feeling burnt out, if we're overwhelmed, if we've silently hit the wall, if we're not showing up as the best version of ourselves while it's called today, we can't do the things that we're meant to do. And I need that for you. So I really appreciate us being able to bring this full circle back to what Dr. Angela was talking about and allow you the ability to not burn out, but to thrive in all that you do. Because you are uniquely brilliant, you absolutely were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. We need you to be absolutely, exactly, totally, completely, massively. Have I given you enough adjectives yet to allow you to see that I want you to thrive? I want you to make the difference that only you can make in this world. And you can't do that if you're overwhelmed, if you've hit the wall, or if you're burned out. You need to be able to feel strong and powerful in what you're doing. You need to see the impact that you're having in the world. And you need the innovative technologies that allows you to show up every day as the best version of yourself and live as a thriving entrepreneur. Oh, I want that for you. I hope until we're together again next time, you're happy, safe, warm and loved, and that you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKid.com and schedule a time to talk today.